Earners, what's going on? Listen, EYLU is relaunching, revamping, retooling. That's right, we're creating a new educational experience that's more expansive. Shotty, tell them what we got.
Yes, 2023. We got a lot in store, a lot planned for you guys. So you know that EYLU already includes monthly financial planning calls with me, book club calls with Troy, real estate calls with MG the Mortgage Guy, access to the Home Buying Blueprint, Volume 1 and Volume 2. Part of the revamp will include 27 local chapters from across the United States, live interactive teaching, hands-on, not just pre-recorded videos, plus 15 brand new curriculums.
The biggest just got bigger.
Head over to EYLUniversity.com. That's EYLUniversity.com. See you there.
Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining. And in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for, intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. Earners, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors. And it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, that's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. I used it. You should go over there and start using it now.
We got a special, we got two special panels that we're going to host back to back.
Yes.
Of course, we have our friend Hill Harper here. Shout out to Hill.
Yeah, and we were super intentional, right? It was like, yeah, we can bring people from all throughout the country, all throughout the world, really. But it was like, nah, if we come to Detroit, we got to do it the Detroit way. And so we got some Detroit legends. Hill Harper is here. We got my man Ha Ha Davis is here.
Of course, and we got my brother Icewear Vezo.
Yeah.
In the building as well. So we're going to have a very dope, you know, probably 45 minutes. We're going to mix it up with them. And we're going to have some fun, man. We're going to have some fun. So one of the legends from Detroit, somebody that has changed the game when it comes to social media, comedy, and then marketing and turn it into a business. You know, so many businesses was created on the iPhone,
yep.
Including Earn Your Leisure. That's how we started on the iPhone. So never despise small beginnings because it could lead you all over the world, can make you a lot of money. So one of the funniest people in the game right now, and somebody that I've been watching for a long time, Detroit's own, make some noise for Ha Ha Davis. So, over 5 million followers on Instagram.
Yeah.
Something that, you know, you've curated massively.
Yeah.
How have you been able to turn social media following into, you know, a real tangible business for yourself?
Social media changed my life. It gave me an opportunity to take care of my family. And on top of that, it gave a lot of us guys a voice who didn't have a voice before social media. So a lot of us who didn't have a way to put our voice out there, social media did that for us.
Now, there's a story of perseverance, man. Like, we've seen a lot of people do sketch comedy. We've seen a lot of people do stand-up comedy on the internet.
Yeah.
Most people can't transition into making it a successful career.
Right.
I saw a clip where you said that you have 4 million followers, but you weren't making any money.
Right.
Talk about that journey, because most people think social media, instant gratification, I'm going to get it now, yep. I'm going to do it now. Yep. Talk about that process of, like, I'm gaining followers, but ain't no business coming behind it.
The thing with that is, like, the fame came before the money came. Like, I ain't had no money. Like, I was in my mama's basement with 4 million followers, and I was famous, but I ain't had no money. She was like, it's time to go get a job. Like, my mama already famous. I can't be working at KFC. They're going to be like, can I get a picture? Or I got to holler one of my catchphrases. But at that time, you know what I'm saying?
Employee of the month.
Yeah, but people don't understand. Like, a lot of times you get the fame before you get the money, and that's what happened with my career. I had people that loved me across the world, but I didn't have no money in my bank account. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Gig some noise for Vezo. Just walked in. Icewear Vezo.
Yeah.
Love, bro.
The legend himself.
What's Detroit song. So, my question's for you, bro. Let's talk about the music side. This is United Masters. You know, they always talk about music independence, right?
Yeah.
So, talk about you and your journey, owning your masters, different things of that nature.
Now, I've been rapping for a long time, since I was a shorty. You know what I'm saying? It took me a long time to get known, but it took me even more of a longer time to get some money in my pocket. You know what I mean? And what contributed to that was me being able to make the decisions that I wanted to make with my music. You know what I'm saying? That come with owning your masters and owning your catalog overall. It don't even matter how old a song is. You know, you can sell your entire catalog full of songs that's 10 years old. You know what I'm saying? That's actually how I got my first $1 million, bro. I sold a bunch of songs, like all my old catalog, for $1 million. That's when I seen my first M. You know what I mean? So even coming up in a game or whatever, I knew it was important to own my music and to own my masters and be able to make the decisions. I just didn't know the significance of it, like how far I could go with that. And I seen firsthand, you know what I mean? So I think that is important when you're making music and you catch a buzz, you catch a wave, make sure you keep that. That's extremely important. It's going to come in handy. You know what I mean? It did for me, and I know it do for a lot of other artists.
Yeah, let's talk about the city of Detroit, man. Y'all both from here. And a lot of times in entertainment, I mean, we come from New York, so people say, hey, you got to go to a big city to do it, right? Especially in comedy, definitely entertainment. It's like, we got to make it big in New York, or we got to make it big in L.A. Y'all have managed to keep this loyalty to this beautiful city. Talk about being successful where you are and then translate into the world.
Definitely. For me, I think like Detroit just a hustling city. You know, we just learn how to hustle for real.
Two people clap. She's one of them. She's a hustler.
Yeah, like Detroit is a hustling city, and like Vezo, like he a real entrepreneur, and he always giving back. He always doing the philanthropy part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's very important, doing the philanthropy part of this. You know what I mean? I feel like that's why you're able to come home and always receive that love, because of the simple fact he always giving back. So I think it's really just the hustling side of it, for real.
Yeah, I agree with him on that. It's just the hustling side, you know what I mean? Detroit folks always been like hella ambitious, you know what I mean? That's stuck with us since the beginning of time. You even look at Berry Gordy and what Motown them did. You know, he kicked it off. He gave us the blueprint of how to even, you know what I mean, run a label and stick true to your sound and what you got going on. You know, at the time when them dudes was making that music, the rest of the world wasn't really making them type of songs. Especially like when the Temptations got to making songs like Psychedelic Shack and all that, you know, them sticking to their sound played a part in that shit being big, you know. So I think it don't matter where you from, though, wherever you from, I think it's important you stay true to your roots. You know, it's gonna win in the end.
Brother, let me ask you a question. So you was an independent artist, then you went to a major, then back to indie, right? So talk about your journey. What's the difference? I'm sure there's artists here. What's the advantages of being independent? What's the advantages of being on a major? And, you know, what's your perspective on seeing both sides of the coin?
So the first time, I'm going to be 100, I signed to a major label because I needed some money. You know what I'm saying? I had just came home from prison or whatever. But so to a rapper, signing to a major label is like a basketball player going to the NBA. That's what it felt like to us, having a major deal. However, it's two totally different things. You know, I had it in my mind that once I go to a major label, I'm gone. I'm out. It's over. I made it. I'm going to be big. But it don't work like that. Unfortunately, you still got to put the exact same grind in, the same hustle, if not even more. And it's less beneficial financially. You know, it make more sense to stay independent, especially if you're a hustler.
Talk about the transition. Social media has played a big role in your career. Yeah. I mean, I remember Vine was a thing.
Yeah, for sure it was.
And you were big on Vine.
Yeah.
And then Vine no longer existed, and Instagram became something that you had to use. Talk about studying social media and using it to your advantage.
Definitely. Yeah, Vine, like, it was only 6-second video. That's why I talk fast to this day, because you had to be funny in 6 seconds. So that's why I still talk fast.
Yeah.
But social media, I just learned what my fan base wanted. Like, I just kept beating certain things into their head. Like, some people might love the guard. Some might love Finna Be a Breeze. Some, like, Beyond Me. But I was a catchphrase king. Whether you thought I was the funniest guy or not, people just gravitated to certain things that I was doing from my catchphrases. So I just studied the fans. And once I realized what it was that they wanted, I just kept on doing it. And then the followers just kept on building up from that.
Yeah, I got a quick follow-up on that. Because when I'm listening to Vezo, he's like, I made that first $1 million, or I signed my contract. Being on social media, what was the moment? Was it like I saw somebody post me? Like, because at this point, I feel like you might be running Snoop Dogg's page.
No. No, Snoop Dogg, he just a genuine person. He taught me that, how to be genuine. Like, he just always showed me that love since 2015. But, yeah, it was Snoop Dogg that really took my career to the next level, for sure. Definitely. Like, he found me in 2015, came out to the east side of Detroit, and ever since then, he's been rocking with me. Yeah.
Vezo, let me ask you this. As far as you talked about, it's more beneficial to be an independent artist, but what are some things that people don't really think about when they think that, you know, they're going independent? I know you got to promote your music yourself. You got to put a lot of money into it. You got to invest in it. So Absolutely. What are some things that people might not be considering on the independent side?
I mean, the most important part is what you said. You have to spend that money. You really genuinely got to invest in yourself. You know what I mean? If you spend a little bit, that's what you're going to get out of it. If you spend way more, you spend a lot of money, you're going to get a lot out of it. But it's more than just dumping a bunch of money in there. You got to put the work ethic behind it. And you can't spend money frivolously. You know what I mean? You got to make sure everything adding up, making sense. I really thought that it was going to be a huge difference signing to a major. But honestly, bro, it wasn't. You know what I mean? Like, everything a major do is huge. They do it big. They go in all the way. But that only come after the artist put that first part of their grind in, put that initial grind in. And I feel like at that point, once you do the legwork to where you got a brand and you got a name and you making a couple dollars, it really don't make sense to go to a major. Certain artists, yes, it makes sense. Like, for me, I think like R&B artists or rock artists and pop artists, it makes sense for them to be with majors. But people that's in my my type of genre, the music I make, it's really no difference. You know what I mean? It's the same amount of work. However, you just coming out of your own pocket. But when you make the money back, you're seeing way more than what you'd have made back if you wasn't investing your own cheese.
So, like, what's the most beneficial way to spend money? Like, is it to pay DJs? Is it to, like, how, is it a feature? Is it a producer? Like, what do you think the most beneficial way to, for an artist to spend their money?
Without a doubt, it's marketing, period. You know, I think you need to get a team around you, and you got to pay the folks you got around you. You know, you get you a big, strong team around you, and everybody work, everybody attack what they good at, you know, and go with whatever their attribute is, and you dump the money into the people around you and let them do the work, you know, all while you doing the work as well. But for sure, it's marketing, promotion, you know, that's the main thing.
Let's talk about creating the skit,
yeah.
Right? Because I watched them, the voiceovers. It takes time, man. Let's talk about the amount of work that goes into you creating, right? Is it something that you're doing every day? Is it something that you're sitting down, you're writing it, or you're working with writers? What is that process like for you?
To be honest, I've never written a skit. I really just cut the camera on and I just go. But like if I'm getting ready to be on the road for a while and I know I'm getting ready to go on tour or something, I film 5 to 10 skits or 20 skits that I can just put up while I'm on the road. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I ain't putting nothing up in 5 or 6 days. I know the people want to see something, I just put that out. Mm-hmm. But the process that go into it is really just me cutting on the camera. I mean, the voiceovers is probably the hardest work. It's probably awkward because a lot of the videos be silent. And then they be like, what are you doing? But then I got to put the voiceover on. So it's like an awkward humor, but once I put the voiceover on it, it come to life.
You've become a full director when you look at some of these skits.
Definitely.
You said something, I don't want that to go over people's heads. You said, when I'm going on tour.
Yeah.
We can't take that lightly. Like, we've watched comedians, we've watched people do sketches on social media.
Definitely.
And they can't transition to the next thing.
Yeah.
Because being on stage in front of a crowd is totally different than being in your basement making a skit.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Talk about that, man, because that's an incredible feat.
No, yeah, the stand-up thing is totally different. When I first started doing stand-up in 2015, I thought just because I was famous that I could do stand-up. But, man, I tell you, you could have heard. Can I cuss on here?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
21 and over, don't worry.
All right, cool. But when I first started doing stand-up, you could have heard two mics having sex. It was so silent in there. And then I started to go back to the comedy club. I was like, no, I really want to be funny for real. I ain't just want to be social media funny. But now that I'm 8 years in with stand-up, it took me 8 years just to get my stand-up where it is now. You know what I'm saying? But it's definitely a hard process, that stage. Because, like, with the skits, I can go back and reshoot that. On the stage, it's like, right now, you got to be funny right now. Like, how people standing me right now, you got to be funny right now. Or they not coming back to see you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the difference.
So, Vezo, let me ask you this. As far as a label owner, what was your process in starting a label? And what are some of the challenges? As opposed, an artist is one thing, but managing people and signing artists is a whole different thing. So, what's that look like for you being a label owner?
Managing people that's the hardest part of owning a record label. You know what I mean? It's hard to get other artists and other people to kind of think on the level that you own, but just to think, you know, more, I don't know, it's hard getting people to just be on the same page, bro. You know, you got to worry about accounting for what people do when you're not around them. You get what I'm saying? Like, I'm worried about my artists getting in trouble, what they got going on in the streets and all that type of shit. That's the hardest thing to that shit, bro, is just dealing with artists. You know what I mean? Like, worrying about everything they got going on pretty much become your problem. But as a boss, you got to be prepared for that. You know what I mean? You got to be prepared to help guide people throughout their everyday problems in their everyday life, because that shit always fall over into the business side of that shit, you know what I'm saying?
You said that, and this is for both of you, you said that Detroit has a sense of hustle and there's a sense of entrepreneurship here. So I'm wondering, outside of the music and outside of the entertainment spaces, what are the entrepreneurial journeys that you're looking at? Is investing in real estate? Like, what are some of the things that y'all have looked at over the past 5 years since the ascension of your careers?
It's definitely real estate, and I think real estate is really like the biggest form of income outside of what I already do. You know what I mean? Cause like I always tell my manager, like, I ain't gonna be pretty forever. I'm gonna have to need something to fall back on. You know what I mean? This ain't gonna last forever. So when this is over, I want to have something to, you know what I mean, fall back on.
Yeah, for me, I fuck with the real estate, but My second biggest stream income outside of music is movies. I produce movies and I act in them as well. Me and my wife just opened up a juice bar too called Fresh and Press.
Amazing.
So that's a good market to be in. And the reason why I wanted to invest in that, because it's something that she really likes. She really loves it. It wasn't just a money grab. It's something that's genuinely in her heart. She really got the insight and the knowledge about that. And I think that's important when you investing in businesses. You don't want to just do shit just to do it. You want to be able to do something that you're going to be interested in, that you got the drive there to actually grow that business. Because if it ain't no drive there for that business or whatever it is, then to me, I feel like it wouldn't work. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
We met your wife yesterday, and we tasted the product. The juices is amazing. What's that process as far as working with your spouse? That's something that a lot of times people will, like, stay away from that. Like, don't mix a relationship and business. You obviously have done that. So what's your thought process in that?
I just stay out of her way, man. I let her do what she got to do. I believe in her, you know what I'm saying? I trust her decisions. I trust her judgment, her opinions, everything that she got going on. I fully believe in her. It's not just the business that she chose to invest in. I'm investing in her as a human being, you know? So whatever she got going on, I know it's going to work because she trusts in me as well, you know?
Yeah, so it's that trust word. That's what got me was the word trust. I got to build that trust up, too. I like that word trust. I like that.
So, how you buying real estate in Detroit?
Yeah, well, right now, me and my team, we focusing on buying a comedy club. We're trying to open up a comedy club in D. I mean, like you say, it got to be something that your heart is truly invested in. And, you know, I do comedy, so I always be in a comedy club, and I know I'm going to put 110% in it, so definitely.
Yeah, so you got the comedy club, Vezel, you got the label. When you're looking for the next set of talent or the next entrepreneur, what are the things that you're looking for in the comedian, in the artist, to say, like, that's somebody special, that's somebody we need to invest in them and watch their future blossom?
I'm looking for dedication, you know what I'm saying? That hustle, that ambition, and that drive. That's what I look for.
Yeah, definitely. Like, somebody who just, no matter what's going on, or if you at 2 million followers or 3 million followers, you still got that same grind before anybody even knew your name. Mm. Like, I still got that same grind before anybody knew me as High Davis. Like, you can ask anybody that know me. Some days I wake up and I be losing my mind. Like, I got to put out content. Even though I know I'm big already, that don't even sit in my mind. I be like, I need to put out content. I'm trying to, I got somewhere I want to be. You know what I mean? It ain't never been about who I was today. I got to put this time in for who I want to be in the future.
You're not trying to be in that basement anymore.
No, I can't go back to that basement. Them basement days is over.
Hey, I really watched Bro come up in real life. In real life. When him and Snoop met, when he said they was on 8 Mile, I was with him that day.
No,
I watched him come up. He had the same mindset, the same drive, the same plan. Most importantly, he was the same person.
Yes, sir.
That's why Bro still turned. That's why he's successful, because he stayed humble.
All right, so this is the interesting. This is interesting, right? So you've watched his journey. I wonder, is it the same team around? Because a lot of times as we ascend, right, there might be new people that come into it that can add to it. There might be people that are no longer a part of it.
Yeah.
What was the team like when you started? Are they still around? Like, how do y'all manage that?
Yeah, the team's still around. A lot of people, you know what I'm saying, a lot of people you gotta let go, because a lot of times people get money hungry. A lot of times people try to snake you out, you know what I mean? But the people who was loyal to me, they still here today. But a lot of people have come and went, too, at the same time.
My manager right there, she been my manager since I started rapping.
That's fire.
She's still here. But like Bro say, like, you know, when you don't never owe anybody nothing. That's what y'all always got to remember. As soon as y'all get some paper, you're not obligated to stay with nobody. If that relationship don't make sense, if that business don't make sense, then get rid of it. You will fall with them if you feel like you owe anybody anything. You got to think for yourself. You got to think for your future. You got to think for your family and your kids and all them. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times with me, I seen me having a couple of dollars. It didn't really change me. It really changed the people that was around me. You know what I'm saying? So I had to get rid of a lot of motherfuckers.
That's real.
So let me ask you this. As far as Detroit, right? Somebody said the other day, yesterday to us, it was like the comeback city. And I was like, what do you mean the comebacks? I didn't really understand it. And
Ernest, what's up? Look, you want to have a seat at the table, but what if you want a seat at an award show, a seat at Fashion Week, or a seat with the board of directors for a cause that excites you? A career that puts you in the driver's seat, where your passions become your purpose. Do you love the world of music? the excitement of high fashion, or perhaps you're driven by a desire to make a difference. No matter your passion, accountants are helping to lead the way to keep the music playing, the runways alive, and communities thriving. Imagine being an accountant working in the music industry, working closely with your favorite artists on their financial strategies. Or picture yourself as an accountant working in fashion, an essential part of the production process helping designers thrive. Or how about an accountant working with nonprofits, impacting the community by guiding fiscal decisions? Deloitte's Making Accounting Diverse and Equitable, or MADE, is here to help you seize that seat. They're redefining accounting, especially for high school and college students, with a core focus on making a difference. If you're on the hunt for a career where your passion meets potential, take a moment to visit Deloitte MADE's website at DeloitteMADE.com. Wherever important decisions are being made, accountants are helping to lead the way. The future of accounting starts with you. Earners, what's up? You ever wonder what's around the next corner? What happens if you push just a little further? With Nissan SUVs, you're equipped to take your adventure to unimagined levels. Imagine the possibilities with a Nissan Rogue, Nissan Pathfinder, or Nissan Armada. Go ahead, find your next big adventure. And while you're out there exploring the unknown, the class-exclusive Google built-in becomes your ultimate co-pilot. No need to fumble with your phone. With Google Assistant, Google Maps, and the Google Play Store integrated into the 12.3-inch HD touchscreen infotainment system of the 2024 Nissan Rogue, your journey becomes seamless. Ask for directions, stream your adventure playlist, or send messages hands-free, all while keeping your focus on the adventure ahead. This just isn't any drive. It's a journey powered by innovation, where the road less traveled isn't just seen, it's experienced. The 2024 Nissan line aren't just SUVs. They're your gateway to adventure, equipped with the tools you need to explore every corner of the world around you. Nissan, dare to do what others don't. Visit your local Nissan dealer or NissanUSA.com to find out more and take the first step into your next adventure today.
They were saying, like, you know, it had a lot of adversity. People counted it out, but now it's on the rise again.
Yeah.
So what's your thoughts on the current state of Detroit, and where do you see the city going?
For me, I think the city coming back. Like, even with our downtown, you see the downtown on fire. The Detroit Lions, I know we finna do this year. Our football team is back. You know what I mean? Even with the rap game, like, the rap game, the Detroit rap scene is on top right now. Like, me watching Bezo, Peezy, Babyface, all them rap for 5 to 10 years, and they finally getting their just due, man. That's powerful. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Detroit rap scene is finally getting their just due. Any state I go to, I hear Vezo, I hear Peezy, I hear Babyface, I hear all of them really on top. So, that's for me, that's what I feel. I feel like that's what's bringing Detroit back right now.
What's your thoughts, bro?
I feel the same way. I think Detroit turned right now. You know, I think we on a good path. We just got to stick to it. You know what I mean? We got a lot. It's always room to grow for any city, any business. It's always room to grow. But for the most part, we doing what we supposed to do. And it's only going to get bigger. You know what I'm saying? We came a long way, bro. A real long way.
This is true. I wonder when y'all watch the rap scene, right? When you talk about all these artists, you said PZ, Babyface, even Sean and M. Well, y'all watching other cities saying, look, they didn't do it right. They didn't work together. This is what we can do to make sure that we represent our city and make sure that the world can recognize us as a city. Like, are y'all working together on that level of thought?
We for sure was thinking like that. Me, Peas, and Ray, we used to be a rap group called Team Eastside.
You know, heard about that yesterday.
Yeah, we was a rap group. We rapped together for some years, and we set out a plan, and everything that we doing now, we talked about it. We wrote it down, you know what I mean? We had meetings about it, and we made it happen. I always look for what the person before me had done wrong so I can not do the same thing that they did, you know what I mean? So I think it's important that you look at what somebody else ain't doing right so you don't make the same mistake.
Make some noise for Ha Ha Davis and Ice Wear Vezo, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate these guys, man. All right, we're not done yet, so we're going to bring up the Honorable Hill Harper. I'm very excited about this conversation. Every time we talk to Hill, it's a bunch of gems and a lot of information. Obviously, he has a lot going on right now. Detroit native.
Yes.
Somebody that, you know, has done a lot for the city, means a lot, and has a lot of knowledge from crypto to everything, really.
Yeah, man. I mean, he's Harvard educated. Before we bring Hill up, I just want to give a shout out. Yesterday, we had the opportunity to sit down and talk to about 100 alumni of Allies Future Mogul program. Are they here? Are Future Moguls here? Are they right here? So I want to shout out to them. They did a collaboration. This is the 5th anniversary of the Future Moguls. So shout out to y'all. We spoke to y'all about networking and making sure that y'all come together. So the fact that y'all here is important. Clap it up for them one more time. Shout out to Ally. I think they've raised over $700,000 for scholarships for these young adults. So again, shout out to y'all for being here. I see a bunch of HBCUs represented. No, I didn't plan that. Shout out to y'all. All right, let's bring up none other than Hill Harper, my brother. Come to the stage.
You know how good I feel? I just want to tell a quick story, everybody. Years ago, I was in Los Angeles at the time. I don't know how we got connected, but we went to lunch.
Yes.
We went to lunch. Do you remember where we went to lunch?
We were in Beverly Hills.
Bel Air.
We were in Bel Air.
We were in Bel Air. We went to lunch at the Bel Air Hotel.
Yes.
And you remember what we ate?
Oysters.
And lobster salad. And these brothers said, this is real talk. He said, man, this is the first time I had a lobster salad. But y'all are doing so
well.
It was
very Hollywood.
Yeah, listen, give it up for these two because they have built literally a multi-million dollar empire that has created jobs, it's created opportunity, it's created multiple opportunities for people all the way down on multiple levels. And that's exactly what entrepreneurship is. That's exactly what happens when we support our own and we amplify people to allow them to create jobs all the way down the food chain. And so I just give it up to you, brothers, for what you do.
Thank
you.
Greatly appreciate it.
Appreciate it. So let's get into this. I want to start with crypto, shall we?
Let's start.
So we were talking upstairs. XRP, any XRP enthusiasts in the building?
Okay.
So they had an interesting ruling with the SEC, and that is interesting how this is going to affect the landscape of cryptocurrency. I know you're a crypto.
It is.
You're a crypto enthusiast. So what's your thoughts on the current state of crypto and specifically how the XRP ruling could, you know, translate to the whole entire space?
Well, we're coming out of a crypto winter, and the XRP ruling is very interesting because, just to break it down real quick, people who may not know, the SEC was trying to have XRP, the commodity that is the token, the asset, considered a security. And therefore, it would fall under securities law and therefore be illegal for them without the proper licenses, et cetera, to trade that asset. But the judge ruled that instead of it being considered, and now the ruling's not final, and we're really talking about what may happen in the future, mm-hmm. but the potential is that asset, the judge said, is not necessarily a security, but a commodity, like an orange. So if you have a grove of orange trees, you grow oranges, you don't need a license from the SEC to sell those oranges. It's a commodity. And so since this asset was created, the question is it a security like a stock, or is it a commodity like an orange? And if it ends up being ruled to be a commodity, then the floodgates literally will open extremely wide because it'll allow a great deal of assets to flow into the space because it won't be. Now, other people argue that the more regulation in the space is better because it's kind of like the Wild Wild West, and therefore you need regulation. And both parties are correct in a way, but what's interesting about it to me is folks who are holding XRP thought that it was definitely going to go the security route, but it's indicating that it may go the commodity route, which changes people's minds. So you've seen the price, for instance, of XRP jump radically recently, but it's not even traded on Coinbase. Coinbase halted the trading of XRP because it was under sanction by the SEC. Now, if Coinbase starts trading XRP and opens it back up, because a lot of people have a ton of XRP on Coinbase, but it's locked up because you can't even trade it on the platform. If Coinbase opens XRP back up, get ready, because it'll start moving and it'll move fast, but we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, and everybody talks about the crypto. I'm not sure what to do with it. But we were looking at this building behind us, and we said, there's hundreds of buildings that look just like this. And if we're talking about this as a comeback city, how do we all take part in this? Can you talk about how crypto can play a role inside of that token economy and how we can own things together?
Yes, but let me talk about the city first.
Yes.
So I chose Michigan. I'm not from Michigan, right? I came here and I was born in Iowa. I came here in 2011, 12, 13, when there used to be a media tax credit here. I did a couple films. They weren't that good. I'm not going to tell you which they were. But I fell in love with the people. This is the greatest people in the world here. It's a combination. It is. And I said to myself then, I didn't have a child then, I said to myself, when I have kids, I'd rather have them grow up like people here than people in Hollywood. And the reason why, you will not meet a black person in Detroit that does not have a good sense of themselves. It doesn't exist. Now, some of them don't have good sense, but those are two different things. But when we think about this city and the greatness of the city and the legacy of this city, it's about ownership. And I want to be careful about what I say, but in many ways, we may have gotten somewhat away from that, but tokenization can bring us back to that. And so to answer your question, if we tokenize that building behind us, mm-hmm. it opens up the access for actual ownership in a smaller fractal share way when maybe one of us or two of us don't have the down payment and we know how they redline, they know how less than 1% of major bank lending goes to our community. So even the idea that you're going to get a loan for that building may not even happen. But if we're able to tokenize that building, and I could go to you and you and you and you and you and say, how many tokens of that do you want? Oh, you can do 10, you do 20, you do 40, you do 10, you do 2, you do 5, you do 7. All of a sudden, we collectively own that structure, and we don't let other outside forces, like what happened in Harlem as an example, developers came in, beautiful brownstones, they bought them, they boarded them up. They did not create affordable housing. They boarded them up. They choked the community. Community services start closing, cleaners close, grocery stores close, food deserts are created. Nobody wants to live there. Everybody leaves. It's vacated. Then en masse, they come back and develop it, but they don't sell it back to us, right? So we can disrupt that type of activity. Because you look at that building, most of the windows are boarded up. Mm-hmm. Someone's choking out that building because they could be redeveloping and creating affordable housing, but they're not. They're trying to choke it out and then bring other people in. We can disrupt that through tokenization by getting into and access to the asset at a lower individual cost. But the only way that works is if we do it collectively, which we haven't been taught to do in our community. We've been taught to compete with each other, but not work collectively.
Yes, for sure. So let's talk about artificial intelligence, and a lot of people are scared of it, say it's a major threat, especially to our community. It's going to take, they said, over 360 million jobs worldwide over the next 10 years. And, you know, this is the Motor City, and people think of Detroit, and they think of hard labor. But you actually provided a different insight when we were upstairs about Detroit, its history of innovation. Can you just kind of explain what you said to us? That's very insightful what you said.
So Detroit and this area was the most innovative place in the world. It was the Silicon Valley back in the day. And to me, you know, I was fortunate enough to buy the Fisher Mansion, which is right up the street. I mean, that's the Fisher Building. You can see it if we didn't have this screen right here, the you know, building with the green top. The Fisher family was the richest family in America because of innovation. Henry Ford goes to Charles T. Fisher and says, hey, man, because remember, Ford used to not be a car company. It was a motor company. It's called the Ford Motor Company. Henry Ford made a motor, an engine. And he goes to Fisher that they made carriages for horses. And he says, man, I need a horseless carriage. And Fisher's like, you need a horseless carriage? Yeah, I'm building a motor, so we won't need horses to pull the thing. And that's why the term horsepower came, because Fisher says, well, we build the size of the carriage based on how many horses pull it. So how many horsepower do you need it to be built? And so ultimately, the Fishers built the chassis for Chrysler, Dodge, GM, Ford, etc., built amazing wealth, built that amazing building. While y'all brothers are here, go into the lobby. It's one of the most beautiful lobbies you ever see. But the point is, It was a city of innovation, new thinking. And to me, it's the mobility city of the world. And if we use AI and AI mobility to push harder and deeper into that type of technology, this city can become the mobility capital of the world. Autonomous vehicles, young, independent entrepreneurs that are developing technology. Now, to me, the scary part is, though, that if we're not actually writing the code, if we're not part of the code of AI, then the AI ultimately, as it's generative and it's improving upon itself, it starts to write us out of the future of it. So that's why I need any of y'all that are young coders, that are young entrepreneurs, you have to start your company now. Because we're at the nascent part of AI, and if you don't start your company now and get into the generative cycle, that as you're coding in or typing in prompts for AI, and you're not, and your company's not popping up on it, the AI is not going to be generative for your company. It's just like a new version of a Google search, and you're not at the top of the search. We need our companies and our entrepreneurs to be part of the generative process. And since it's in its nascent phase, launch your company now. Don't wait. Do not wait. We need you in it. And this city can be, I believe, the AI mobility capital of the world. Autonomous vehicles everywhere, built by us, for us, and we're part of that.
Hill, I wonder, you have an in-depth history of the city. For the young people out here who are looking to invest, maybe in real estate, what are the areas, because I know there's some labels of historic areas not too far from here, what are the areas that they should be looking at to say, all right, this is an opportunity before everybody comes out to invest in it, we can now invest and make sure that we're at the forefront of this?
So my grandmama used to say, I can show you better than I can tell you. So I'm just going to be honest. So I bought a building. Y'all know, in 8 Mile, they shoot up that building with the cow's head on top on Mac. There's like a little ice cream shop on Mac with a cow's head. I bought that building. Don't go mess it up, y'all. So I think that whole area around Mac and Drexel and that Chrysler plant that's over there moving towards Grosse Pointe is a great opportunity. Because remember, how many cars are going down Mac, Grosse Pointe, and back? And there's not a lot going on there, right? There's a packaged liquor store right there near Mac and Drexel. There's a couple other things, but not a lot happening. I believe that corridor is prime for getting any type of, it could be residential. I'm a big believer in commercial real estate, although downtown commercial real estate is suffering. But that doesn't mean community-based commercial real estate can't thrive. And if there's anybody there out there that's an ice cream entrepreneur, this is real talk, and you have a little bit of money to invest in infrastructure, I'll partner with you on that cow set because it's historically an ice cream shop, and I'd like it to be an ice cream shop. And the little kids in that neighborhood deserve ice cream. They ain't got no ice cream. They got plexiglass liquor stores, and they can buy Faygo and Verner's and maybe some Funyuns with Snap money. We got to do better, y'all. And that it starts with bringing things like ice cream and fresh produce and things like that into the community. So I'm serious. If somebody wants to open up an ice cream shop on Mac, particularly if you know how to do really nice flavors, because I don't know how to do that.
We got
Let's
one.
Talk. Let's talk.
We got one right here.
All right. So my last question is, what's your vision? You fell in love with the city of Detroit and the state of Michigan. Where do you see this city and this state going over the next decade?
I just want people and more people to choose Michigan like I did. I mean, we're 49th out of 50 in growth. And I don't understand. I don't understand why. So much talent leaves. Most of the top graduates from Grand Valley State, from Michigan State, from University of Michigan, keep on going. Western Michigan, Oakland University, they leave. They go to Atlanta. They go to Chicago. They go to Austin, Texas. They go to L.A. We got to keep our talent here. We can't be like LeBron taking the talent to South Beach. These guys are so fancy. They're hanging out with LeBron now. I see my man somewhere. He got the LeBrons on right there. I see you right there. He talking to somebody, though. I just shouted out your LeBrons. They're nice. They're nice. I see you. And so we have to create more people choosing Michigan and bringing their talents here. And let's be clear. This state is poised more than any other state in the country for climate change. 21% of the fresh surface water supply in the world touches Michigan shores. 21%. There's more water here. There's more clean water. There's more opportunity here. There's more intelligence here. There's more hustle here than any state in the country. Yet we are getting smaller, and it doesn't make sense. We all have to be ambassadors for this place because I want people to come here. I don't want us to keep losing a congressional district. I don't want us to keep fighting over funding for different things that we deserve. And so I believe that you're going to see Michigan really start to grow. Like you're going to see Detroit start to grow like Austin, Texas has, because we're going to be creating businesses that attract talent. And I think it's going to happen. But it only happens, like I said, if we collaborate. Dr. King said it well way back then. We are all tied together in a single garment of mutual destiny. My destiny is inextricably linked with yours. And that's why, since you all are doing well, you give me permission to do well. And if we do well, you give me permission, and on. And to the extent we either tear each other down or build each other up, I believe we build each other up. I mean, it's beautiful.
You know who else is here?
Who's that?
Earn Your Leisure. And we're going to keep coming back because we understand the importance of being in cities like Detroit, the beauty of Detroit.
That's right.
And the future for Detroit. So thank y'all for coming. Thank you for inviting us here. It's been an amazing time. And Hill, I know we don't want to take too much of your time. So again, thank you for coming to be a part of this. Earn your master's panel. And that's it for your time, man.
I appreciate it. Thank y'all. God bless you. Thank you.